So it was Ludwig van Beethoven's 250th birthday, or is. They don't know exactly the day he was born, but this year the symphonies all over the world are celebrating with special concerts, and I had the opportunity to go to one with my mom this Friday to listen to the third of Beethoven's symphonies, which is called Heroica, because it was dedicated to a great hero of Beethoven, namely Napoleon, who, of course, you may know, became the great general who was successful in almost every battle that he fought, and was therefore welcomed after the French Revolution in France, and later became, of course, the emperor. Napoleon spread the ideals of the French Revolution across Europe, and that's why Beethoven was so enthusiastic about him. Liberty, equality, fraternity, those three words sum up what the French Revolution accomplished, and to spread this across Europe was a good thing. As the old monarchies failed, there were republics being formed, movements to establish equality and justice all over Europe. The end of feudalism, the encouragement of science and art, religious tolerance, education, the rule of law, property rights, all these things were championed by Napoleon, and who wouldn't have been delighted? Beethoven certainly was. Until Napoleon vaingloriously put the crown of the empire upon his head, declared himself emperor of the French for life. And then Beethoven changed his tune, if you pardon the pun. He actually struck the dedication to Napoleon from his third symphony because he was disgusted. And so Beethoven and Napoleon, they kind of sum up what happens in our world as some leaders try to do good and then fail miserable. Corrupted by power, war and misery was spread by Napoleon across the European continent and around the world. Even in the Caribbean, there was fighting. It was a terrible time for the world, and many were disillusioned. In today's reading from Isaiah, we hear a song about another leader who was destined to bring justice to the world. He is called the Servant of the Lord. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen in whom my soul delights, Isaiah says. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations. But notice how different this leader is. Isaiah says he will not cry or lift up his voice or make it heard in the streets. There is no fanfare, no shouting, no military parade, no self-glorious coronation. This leader is quietly stepping into the waters of the Jordan with all the other people. He is gentle, nonviolent, and caring towards the vulnerable. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not break. This leader is different to worldly leaders, who are often blind to their own vulnerability. This leader brings light to the blind. Human leaders tend to vilify one another. We see this in the news every day. But this leader brings them light. This week we have witnessed a lot of shouting on the media, social media included, on the streets, around the world. And we have seen violence and destruction grip part of the world. But violence is really the denial of patience, the denial of diplomacy and of listening. And when leaders stop listening, we know what happens. Bombs start flying. But of course, this isn't just happening elsewhere in the world. This happens in our own lives, doesn't it? With our spouses, with our children, with our parents, diplomacy breaks down so often. And we think we have to be right. And we need to tell the other one how right we are, right? And that can erupt so suddenly that we sometimes wonder where it comes from. Because it's in us. Because we are all like that. Because we are all like those who want to snuff out that which we think worthless. Who want to extinguish the glowing wick or break the bruised reed. I love lighting the fire when I'm camping or when I'm staying in my parents' cabin and the wood fireplace has gone out during the night or almost gone out. So I get up really early and I look for an ember in that stove. And I know if I take a big piece of wood and put it on there, it's just going to go out altogether. What I need to do is fan it to life with some very small kindling and fan that flame to life, and then I may add larger pieces. That's how God works with us, with humanity, and wants us to work with one another. Not to extinguish, but to fan to life. I also have a couple of houseplants at home that are neglected. Anybody have those? Yesterday evening, I noticed that the leaves were really wilting on the one on my desk. And I went and got some water. And I guess sometimes we put them outside in the cold and we say, let it die a quick and painless death. But you know, if you nurse a plant back to life, you might be surprised how much life is in there. I still have some plants that were given to me when we got married 27 years ago, and they're still going strong. Isn't that amazing? Just by watching and observing and caring for that which is small and vulnerable. That is what the servant of the Lord does. He brings justice. Justice is a big word. Justice simply means what is fair. It means treating others as equals, not as rivals, and doing what is right. And I think we all know an injustice when we see one, don't we? Injustice happens individually, and injustice happens systemically. It happens between individuals in our families. It happens between nations, between powerful politicians and average citizens, between the wealthy and the poor. It happens in all areas of our lives. And then it happens in ways we really don't understand, such as when an airplane is shot down seemingly unintentionally, or when a child is born with Down syndrome or cerebral palsy, or somebody gets cancer for no apparent reason and dies. And then we ask, where is justice, and how fair is that? Is it anybody's fault? And then we appeal for justice, and we appeal to God. Now Isaiah says that the servant of God will bring justice to everyone. He will bring it faithfully and will not grow faint until it is established everywhere. And he will open the eyes of the blind and bring the prisoners out of the dark dungeon. But he will do it without noise, violence, or force. The servant of the Lord will recognize the vulnerability in us and tend to it. He will not snuff out what needs protecting, but patiently wait for it to grow. We are all vulnerable. It simply means that we can be hurt. We can all be hurt. We are breakable. We have weak spots, and we need love, and we need care. The gospel says that God made himself vulnerable to the world. God made himself the little child of poor parents, born in a manger and threatened by a cruel king as a child. Today we read how Jesus made his first appearance at his baptism, and here we see how vulnerable God makes himself in Christ. Because to be baptized means to submit. It means letting somebody else do for us something we can't do for ourselves. And Jesus did that with John. Even though John expected it the other way around, Jesus says, "Let it be so now." John expected Jesus to baptize, not with water, but with fire and the Holy Spirit. It is exactly the opposite of what he expected from the Messiah or of God. We don't expect God to need us, do we? Jesus needs John. Jesus insists that he do for him what he did for all other people, for this is how we fulfill righteousness, Jesus says. And as he is baptized, the heavens are open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. The Spirit alights and God delights. This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. We all want to be loved, accepted without conditions, by wife or partner, by son or daughter, mom or dad. We crave love. We try to earn it. We try to return it. But love isn't tradable. You can't earn it. You can't pay for it. In Jesus' relationship to God, to the Father, we see what love really is. Jesus had not yet done anything worthy of praise. He was at the beginning of his ministry, and yet God loves him. God says, "I am pleased with you." God didn't demand anything of Jesus. He simply loved him. The Son, the Father, and the Son loves the Father because God is love. And this is how God brings justice and fairness to the world. He comes to establish it in all our relationships, and he does it by becoming vulnerable, tending the weak, patiently reviving the embers of our lives and tending to the plant that is threatened with dying. He will revive and tend the broken, the sick, the lame, the blind. He will feed the hungry. He will fill the thirsty, both physically and spiritually. He will forgive the guilty and raise the dead. And he will not expect repayment. He does not put conditions on his care. His love will bring fairness to all who are treated unfairly and forgiveness to all who acknowledge their own unfairness. He shoulders it, betrayed and denied of his rights, accused and condemned to death, crucified, killed, and buried. This is how God establishes justice, suffering the injustice himself, becoming vulnerable, bearing his heart and his feelings for us. This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Christians are baptized in the name of this God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the God who is love in and of himself. And the injustices of the world are not all on us, but like Jesus, the voice of God says to us, "You are my child, you are my daughter, my son, and for Jesus' sake, I love you and carry your injustices, both those you suffer and those you inflict. I forgive you, and I equip you now to be like Jesus, imperfectly and yet seriously like Jesus, so that you too can become vulnerable, can become aware of your weak points, and that will become your strong points in your relationships. As baptized followers of Jesus, we become servants of God. And like the servant from Isaiah, we too are sent to bring justice to the world. The coastlands wait for his teaching, Isaiah says. In other words, to all those places far away from our view. And that can be on the other side of the world, in Australia, where the people and animals are literally running for the coastlands, trying to escape destructive fires. And it may be as close as the person sitting next to you right this morning that perhaps you are blind to their feelings of, that maybe you have to learn to see in a different way, as vulnerable as you are. Napoleon was reportedly a short man. Some think that because he was short, he had some sort of inferiority complex. Maybe Napoleon became so ambitiously obsessed with military might and imperial power because he wanted to compensate for his short stature. I'm no psychologist, but it kind of makes sense. Now, Christians have no need for compensation like that. God calls us daughters and sons without expecting us to do great things. He simply loves us. We can and should remind ourselves of this every day. I am baptized. I am accepted by God as I am, with all my weak points, vulnerabilities, and faults. It doesn't matter how tall I am or how short I am, whether I'm big or small, young or old, sick or healthy. God is very pleased that you exist. God even is pleased that our enemies exist. God even loves the people that are doing the injustice to other people that we are so appalled by. God loves them and wants to flame that kernel of love into brighter love. He wants to nurse the seed in them into a healthy plant. And that applies even to those people that today get condemned in the news, whether that's the Iranians or the U.S. president or whoever else may be on our bad list. God loves the world so that he gave his only son so that all who believe in him may not perish but have eternal life. All creation exists because God loves it. And it is our mission, the servant's mission, God's mission, to bring it to the whole world. Not because of what we do are we just, but just because of the justice of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And now, the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen.